From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Indira Lakshmanan of the Poynter Institute and the Boston Globe, and this is On Point. Clergy sex abuse and who turned a blind eye is shaking the Catholic Church again. This time, Pope Francis is at the center of the storm. The pontiff, who declared zero tolerance for abuse, shocked Catholics in Chile last month when he said victims had no proof and had slandered a bishop they accused of witnessing and covering up crimes against minors. Now, members of the Pope's own Commission for the Protection of Minors say they gave Pope Francis a Chilean survivor's letter detailing a cover-up 3 years ago. Up next on Point, does Pope Francis have a blind spot on clergy sex abuse? You can join us on air or online. What's your take on what's unfolding in Chile and at the Vatican? Do you think the Pope has done enough to root out clergy who enabled or covered up abuse? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. First, we're going to talk about some of what Pope Francis has done in a recent trip to Chile. Here's Pope Francis when he spoke at the Vatican Embassy in Chile in January about the molestation of children by priests. No puedo dejar de
manifestar el dolor. Here I am bound to express my pain and shame that I feel towards the irreparable damage caused to children by some ministers of the Church. I am one with my brother bishops, for it is right to ask for forgiveness and make every effort to support the victims, even as we commit ourselves to ensuring that such things do not happen again.
So that was, of course, at the time when Pope Francis was visiting the Vatican Embassy in Santiago. But during that same trip, he raised a lot of hackles when he defended Juan Barros, a Chilean bishop who was accused of having witnessed personally and covered up abuse by his mentor, a well-known pedophile priest who was actually found guilty by the Vatican. Here's Pope Francis making some controversial remarks to reporters in Iquique in northern Chile.
The day they bring me proof against Bishop Barros, then I'll speak, the Pope said. There's not one bit of proof against him. All of it is slander. Is that clear?
So we have joining us now from Warren, Massachusetts, David O'Regan. He is a survivor of clergy sex abuse and a leader of a local chapter of SNAP, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. Welcome to On Point, David.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So you're a survivor of clergy sex abuse. If you are able to, please tell us a little bit about what happened to you.
My abuse occurred in the Archdiocese of Boston in 1962. I attended a summer camp the summers of 1961 and 1962. The camp was run by the Stigmatine Order of Priests, and the director of the camp, a Catholic priest, was my abuser.
I'm so sorry for what happened to you. And I want to ask you, when you hear about what Pope Francis has said about zero tolerance for clergy sex abuse, but at the same time, he minimized abuse in Chile, saying that accusers had no proof and no evidence that Bishop Barros had witnessed and covered up their abuse. How does that make you feel?
Not only to myself, but to other survivors, it's re-traumatizing. I have very thick wounds from my childhood abuse, and I try to stay on top of them each and every day. And when we hear the Pope state that he's in denial of these abuse charges, knowing full well that his papal committee delivered the evidence to him, and he turned back the clock. He's going back to a time in the church where it was, as we saw here in Boston, patent law, deny, 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 and victim blame. So that's really, as a survivor, it hurts. I struggle to stay on top of things when I hear remarks like this, because I know firsthand the trauma of abuse, and you know it's my desire to see that no other child has to experience this, especially unnecessarily. When the Pope has within his power to punish the abusers or the protectors of those who abuse. And to date, there's only been a couple of resignations. There has been no punishment. The Pope has failed us in a very, very big way, you know, stating that there's no tolerance when in fact we see that, yeah, it's business as usual.
Well, let's explain to listeners what exactly is the new reporting this week. And it is that yesterday the Associated Press revealed that Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the cardinal here in Boston's Archdiocese, who's the Pope's chief advisor on clergy abuse, indeed gave the Pope a letter 3 years ago from one of the victims of this notorious pedophile priest in Chile, Father Fernando Cararima. And in that letter, the victim explained that the man who is now Bishop Juan Barros had was a young priest at the time and participated engaged in sexual acts with Father Cararima, according to the victims, and witnessed the father molesting dozens of teenage boys in his Santiago parish and never said anything about it, covered it up for years. So we have actually members of the Pope's own Commission for the Protection of Minors saying that they did give him a letter and photographic evidence of them giving that letter to Cardinal Sean O'Malley. So that's the backstory here, that reporting yesterday. Cardinal O'Malley gave also an extraordinary and rare rebuke to the Pope or about the Pope after the Pope in Chile questioned those victims and said where was the proof that they had against this bishop and accused them of slandering the bishop. I want to bring into the conversation now Massimo Fagiole. He joins us from Villanova, Pennsylvania, where he's a historian and theologian at Villanova University. Welcome, Massimo.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for joining us. And I want to ask you, you've been following this very closely. What are your thoughts on the Pope having sort of dismissed these victims in Chile? And what do you think is going on here?
I think it's a serious incident. It's a serious mistake that Pope Francis made by making those statements in Chile and years before in the appointment of Bishop Barros. Honestly, I think it's more an incident than the signal that we are going back to the times when we were in complete denial. I think he made an incorrect statement on the airplane when he said that he hadn't received, that the victims hadn't come forward. So I think, honestly, that he misspoke. It was a lapsus also because in this time it's very unlikely that one person in charge of a very large institution thinks that can get away with this kind of false statement. So I think he misspoke. There is a very complicated situation there that has to do with ecclesiastical politics. That's one side, that the Roman connections of the church in Chile. There is a larger issue about how the Catholic Church can and should fight the sexual abuse scandal. There are short-term measures that have been taken. I think they are clearly insufficient. There are to be taken long-term measures. And here, the history of the Catholic Church, the previous century, can teach us something about how much time it takes, what kind of thinking
Well, before we get, Massimo, sure. to what the church can and should do going forward, I want to hear from you about what you think Pope Francis has done so far. If we can give him a grade, you're a professor at a Catholic university. Francis is the first new pope since the Catholic Church was rocked by the worldwide reports of clergy sex abuse. And like Pope Benedict before him, he has apologized for the damage done. And he has said that he has a zero-tolerance policy, and yet at the same time, he made these stunning statements both in Iquique, northern Chile, and on the plane after the trip, saying, "No one victim has come forward in Chile. Show me the proof. This is slander and calumny." So how do you grade this pope so far on his handling of sexual abuse claims and victims who, for that matter, say that they couldn't, you know, possibly take a selfie of themselves being abused by a priest and witnessed by a bishop? So what sort of proof are they supposed to provide?
Well, it's very hard for a Catholic theologian to give grades to the pope, as you can imagine. But here, in terms of the way he has handled communication and the image of his pontificate on the sex abuse crisis is clearly a failing grade. There's no question about that. He hasn't shown that he cares as much as he should. I am Italian. I moved to the U.S., and I've learned here how important that is. On the other hand, he has taken steps that are still incomplete, but that are aimed at creating a new culture in the Catholic Church about the awareness of these abuses, a culture of transparency. There are experts in the Vatican.
Okay, hold that thought, Massimo. Massimo Fagioli of Villanova University, stay with us after the break. David O'Regan, I want to thank you so much, survivor of clergy sexual abuse, leader of a local chapter of SNAP in Massachusetts. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is On Point.
This episode of On Point is supported by 23andMe. This Valentine's Day, give someone special a DNA kit from 23andMe. They can receive over 75 detailed online reports about their genetic ancestry, inherited traits, and even information about their health. Go to 23andMe.com/onpoint to get 20% off each kit, now through February 14th. Offer includes free gift wrap.
You have access to the entire world of NPR with your smart speaker. Ask it to play NPR or your local NPR station to check the news while you get ready for work or fix dinner. There's a new radio in your house, and it's easier than ever to listen to Morning Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and more. Just ask your smart speaker to play NPR or your local NPR station.
This is On Point. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. We're talking this hour about Pope Francis and his role in a clergy sex abuse scandal that is rocking the Catholic Church in Chile and beyond. You can join our conversation. What will it take for the Catholic Church to solve this problem once and for all? Is it unrealistic to think one man, even a pope, can fix it? Or what's your solution? Tweet us or send us a message on Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Rome is Nicole Winfield, Vatican correspondent for the Associated Press. She's the reporter who broke the story that Pope Francis was given a letter about abuse and a cover-up in the Chilean church 3 years ago. Nicole, welcome to On Point. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
So, Nicole, let's start from the beginning. Tell us a bit about Chilean Bishop Juan Barros and the allegations against him.
Well, Juan Barros was trained as a priest in this community called El Bosque. It was a small community of priests in Santiago run by Fernando Caradima. Caradima turns out to have been a pedophile. He was abusive toward young members of this community, members of the parish. So Juan Barros was a member of this community, and he went on to become a bishop. And he had his bishop career. The Caradima scandal exploded in Chile in 2010 when the victims came forward and started publicly denouncing it. And at a certain point soon thereafter, it there were questions started to be raised about the appropriateness of having some of his proteges serving in dioceses. And so we get to 2014, thereabouts, and Juan Barros is the military chaplain for the Chilean Armed Forces. And the Chilean bishops are concerned that there might be fallout from the Catadema affair. And they're worried in particular about the five bishops, four of them at that time, that they might somehow be tainted or guilty by association because of their association with Catadema. And so they're essentially wanting to get rid of them. And so they make a proposal to the Pope to accept Juan Barros' resignation, and the Pope rejects it and instead appoints him Bishop of Osorno, Chile, a diocese in southern Chile.
Well, so I have to ask you, Nicole, what is the Pope's relationship with Bishop Barros that he would get this recommendation that the man be forced to resign? You know, the Pope is, of course, Argentine. Did the two men know each other in South America?
It's unclear to me if they knew each other. The Pope clearly has a relationship, though, with the Chilean bishops. He's, you know, he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires for many years. He knows the Archbishop, the retired Archbishop of Santiago. He's one of the nine members of his kitchen cabinet, nine cardinals who advise him. So he's quite familiar with the Chilean church and the bishops' conference. Whether he knew personally Juan Barros, that I don't know.
Well, so your reporting revealed yesterday that Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the Boston cardinal who's the Pope's chief advisor on clergy abuse, gave the Pope a letter from one of the Chilean victims of Fernando Catadema in which he outlined not only in very graphic detail the abuse that happened to him and dozens of others, but said plainly that Juan Barros, who was a young priest at the time, was present and witnessed it and did nothing about it. Tell us.
Well, that is the testimony of Juan Carlos Cruz, a survivor of abuse of Catadema and one of the main accusers who helped put Catadema away. That accusation has been out there, and to me it was significant that the Pope apparently received this letter because I was on the airplane when he said that he hadn't received any firsthand testimony from victims about Barros, and I didn't know at the time. We had all read these reports over the years that they were saying this, but we couldn't assume that the Pope got that information. That would be too much of a leap. So we took it at face value that he had never himself heard from victims, that victims had placed Barros at the scene.
So I have a clip now that I want to play for you of Juan Carlos Cruz, that alleged sex abuse victim of Father Catadema, who sat down with a reporter from Al Jazeera in January. He explicitly pointed the finger at Bishop Barros for witnessing numerous sexual assaults of minors, the same allegations he made in his letter to the Pope back in 2015, and doing nothing about it. Let's listen.
He saw when the priest kissed us, when he touched people's genitals. He was watching. There's reams of testimony of how he was present. And till this day, the Pope doesn't acknowledge that. Pure talk, no action. His zero tolerance is a false zero tolerance.
All right, I want to bring another voice into our conversation from Santiago, Chile. Consuelo Saavedra is a journalist and anchor at Televisión Nacional de Chile, the country's public broadcaster. She covered Pope Francis's trip to Chile. Consuelo, welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Indira, for having me.
So, Consuelo, you know, you're Chilean. You witnessed this entire trip. What has the reaction been to the allegations by Juan Carlos Cruz and to the things that the Pope said while he was in Chile?
Well, it has been very interesting because we all in Chile know who Juan Carlos Cruz is and the other victims of this priest, of Father Fernando Catadema. And we also know how close Bishop Juan Barros was to Fernando Catadema, right? And a lot of people in the city of Osorno, the city where he's a bishop, bishop have been complaining about him being in charge of the diocese for a long time. This goes back to 2005. And the point here is that Bishop Barros was present in, I would say, all of the official activities that Pope Francis had here in Chile. And nobody was expecting that. Maybe in the first Mass in the Santiago Cathedral, the capital cathedral, but not in the other activities, you know. So that was, I think, what triggered the whole scandal. And also when Pope Francis was asked in a very informal way by a journalist, he claimed that he didn't know he was a journalist, she was a journalist from a radio station here, about the situation of Juan Barros, of him being present all the time. And he said that there was no proof of Bishop Barros covering up Father Caradima. And so that's what happened at the end with the visit of Pope Francis here in Chile. It was all about the sexual abuse scandal and the eventual cover-up.
Well, Consuelo, it obviously overshadowed all the other things that the Pope was trying to do during his visit. And let's not forget, as I played earlier in the show, the Pope did express sadness and regret for victims of clergy sex abuse when he made a visit to an office in Santiago of the Vatican. But I want to ask you, what's the reaction in Chile now? Now, yesterday and today, to this news that Nicole has broken in the Associated Press that Pope Francis actually received a letter from this victim 3 years ago before he made Juan Barros Bishop of Osorno.
That's very interesting because Juan Carlos Cruz had sent a letter before to the office of the Vatican here in Chile, and everybody knew that, and the letter is public basically for a couple of years now, and then he has also said that he had given a letter for the Pope to the members of the Commission for the Protection of Minors, and many people had seen the picture of Mary Collins handing the letter to Sean O'Malley, to Bishop Sean O'Malley. So the information was kind of out there, but what happened yesterday is that it became more prominent since Mary Collins was not just now Juan Carlos Cruz, the victim, but Mary Collins was telling, you know, I gave the letter to Sean O'Malley, and Sean O'Malley told me that he had given it to the Pope. So that's what's happening now. And during the visit, you asked me during the visit what the Catholics were saying about this. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people. What happened during the visit of the Pope here in Chile is that not many people attended the events. You know, the organization was planning and booked big places, huge, massive places, and no many people showed up. And when you talk to people there, not at the very first day, because that was the first day when Bishop Barros appeared, but the later days, people were saying, what is he doing here? And all the newscasts were showing this situation, so people were worried.
So in other words, Consuelo, there was also, you know, less interest and enthusiasm for the events that the Pope was doing as a result of this. I want to hold that thought because I want to talk more about that, but we have a lot of callers on the line who are waiting patiently. I want to bring in Ricky, who's calling from Cynthiana, Kentucky. Ricky, go ahead. You're on the line.
Hi, Indira.
Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to bring to the table, this issue has been going on for centuries. Catholic boys and girls have been getting molested and worse by the clergy that their moms and dads entrust their lives with for their education, for their religious upbringing, whatever. It happened to me when I was 12 years old. I'm 64 now, and I'm just now coming out about that incident. Just recently wrote a book, and I'm not here to publicize my book. I just want to let you know These are things that stay with people for decades. They take this to the grave with them. Think of all the people who have not come out because of the embarrassment and the self, whatever you want to call it. People, when this happens to people, just like it's happened with women down through the ages, there's a self-guilt, an unjustifiable self-guilt that comes along with that, that sort of fuels the fire to this continuing to happen.
Ricky, I'm so sorry about your suffering, and I want to ask you, witnessing what you've seen now about this Pope who has spoken out and said this is unacceptable, zero tolerance, but now the unfortunate remarks in Chile, how do you feel about the Catholic Church now?
Well, my cynicism about the Catholic Church, of which I have long not been a member, even though I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic grade school and high school, it has led me to this place where I'm at now, which is deep in the wilderness of Kentucky, and I enjoy this sort of non-sociable life that I enjoy, but when I hear about everything that's going on down there, it's a continuation of something that is continuing to go on, and like I started to say before, at the heart of it is the celibacy. Catholics need to, I mean, this happens in other religions too, but at a far, far, far lesser degree.
Okay, thank you, Ricky, very much. I appreciate that. Let's bring in Bill, who's calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Bill, go ahead. You're on the line.
Hi, Indira.
Hi.
I just want to say I also am a survivor of abuse from a Catholic priest. And I'm sorry Thomas Doyle is not a guest on your program. Some people may know him. He's a priest and a canon lawyer. Back in the mid-1980s, he was asked by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to go with another priest to investigate allegations about one priest in a Louisiana parish. They went down there, spent months on this, ended up with finding allegations of abuse that were credible against almost 20 priests in Louisiana. They filed a report. The bishop said, thank you very much. They buried the report. They have known about this stuff for decades. Thomas Doyle has uncovered correspondence from the 1950s about bishops trying to move priests around without letting other parishes know or other archdioceses know about their past. There is no solution to be found from this within the management or hierarchy of the Catholic Church, because they could have done this decades ago, if not centuries, if they really wanted to fix it, which they don't.
Bill, thank you so much for your call, and I'm so sorry about your pain and suffering. Nicole Winfield of the Associated Press, I want to bring this conversation back to some of your reporting, which is that in the aftermath of the upset that he caused in Chile, Pope Francis gave a partial apology, and he sent Maltese Archbishop Charles Scicluna to investigate accusations against Bishop Barros. So tell us, what is the Archbishop's track record on investigating clergy abuse? Is this a serious investigation?
Oh, Archbishop Scicluna has the best track record in the Catholic Church. He is a hero to many survivors of abuse because he really brought the Vatican, he turned the Vatican around on this issue back in the early 2000s when he was the chief prosecutor in the congregation that handles sex abuse cases. So he has more credibility than anybody in the Catholic Church on this issue. So as far as that's concerned, if the Vatican wanted to make a point that this was a credible investigation, he's their man.
And just briefly, Nicole, I mean, you reported on how Cardinal O'Malley, who's credited with helping heal the Boston Catholic Church after widespread abuses under his predecessor were exposed, he rebuked the Pope after his remarks in Chile, which seems extraordinary. Tell us a little bit about what you think is behind that.
Well, at the time, it seemed that he was just shocked at these words that my colleague from Santiago, these words, these strong words that the Pope said in Chile, calling it slander, these accusations against Bishop Barros were slander and that he demanded proof. Clearly, Cardinal O'Malley got to him and said, hey, you don't call this stuff slander and you don't demand proof of victims because they're not going to be able to come up with it. So I think that apology was a result of probably a conversation he had with Cardinal O'Malley, and O'Malley put out a statement that was extraordinary. You never have cardinals criticizing popes, and you don't have them criticizing them in such strong terms, but clearly Cardinal O'Malley realized that this was a major, major blunder, and that he, Cardinal O'Malley, has a position of authority to speak out on this.
I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me on NPR's Ask Me Another as we challenge contestants and celebrities to nerdy word games, music parodies, and punderful trivia. Find us every week on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. We're talking this hour about reports of clergy sexual abuse and a cover-up in Chile and what it says about Pope Francis's leadership. You can join our conversation, What's the Way Forward for the Church Here, for Pope Francis? Is there a solution to this problem? Follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook on @PointRadio. And some of you have already made yourselves heard. Here's one of our listeners on Facebook saying Pope Francis can learn from his mistakes. He has apologized for his comments referring to victims speaking of calumny, meaning lies about the bishop in Chile. Ray in Vermont says, sadly, many in the church have had a blind spot for sex abuse for quite some time. It would be sad if this pope turned also a blind eye. And Dee Wiebes says, they've had a blind spot on this since 1139, when clerical celibacy was made mandatory for the priesthood. It's an unnatural arrangement that invites people to seek sanctuary in the priesthood if they have predilections, according to this listener. All right, we're talking with Nicole Winfield, Vatican correspondent for the Associated Press, Massimo Fagioli, theologian at Villanova University, and Consuelo Saavedra, a news anchor at Televisión Nacional de Chile. I want to play during his trip to Chile last month. Pope Francis was met with angry protesters demanding the resignation of Bishop Barros, who I also want to add was extremely unpopular when he was named by the Pope in 2015 because of the belief that he had shielded a pedophile priest. Here's Silvana Gonzalez, a protester outside the cathedral in Osorno, Chile.
The Vatican still covers up abusers, and to boot, in Chile, it rewards them with promotions and positions abroad. The severity we expected from the Pope isn't there. It's unacceptable that a bishop like Barros, who covered up sex abuses, be put in charge of our diocese.
So, Consuelo, obviously there was a lot of protest back in 2015, but he was installed as Bishop of Osorno nonetheless. I've seen a lot of anger in recent days about the Pope defending him on that trip. Chilean satirist Julo shared a cartoon on social media showing the Pope saying, "To believe in us, you have to have faith, but if you want us to believe in you, you must bring me evidence." And I also read a university professor in Chile saying that Chileans are now hesitant to send their kids to Catholic schools. So tell us, Consuelo, have Chileans lost their faith in the Pope's seriousness about addressing sex abuse or in the church as a whole?
Well, absolutely so. The number of Catholics has dropped, according to a study, for instance, by the polling firm Latino Barometro, from 73% 10 years ago to 45% last year. And Chile, among all Latin American countries, has the lowest confidence rate in the Catholic Church, 36%, compared to an average of 65% in the whole region of Latin America. And this certainly has to do with all the sexual abuse scandal that has evolved in the last 10 years. A little bit of context, there are about 80 priests accused of sexual abuse and sexual misconduct since 2002 here in Chile.
So just to wrap it up for us, Consuelo, now that the Pope has dispatched this archbishop from Malta to investigate the case of Juan Barros, do Chileans have hope that they may actually get a fair outcome?
Well, that's the question. Also, right now, the question is whether he was lying when he said there was no proof, that he had received no proof, because there is this letter, right? But basically, what the victims and people here ask is for the Pope to force Bishop Barros out of the diocese of the city of Osorno.
Well, we will be watching to see if that happens, and you will be reporting on the news. Thank you so much, Consuelo Saavedra, news anchor at Televisión Nacional de Chile, the public broadcaster. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, indeed.
So, Nicole and Massimo, I want to come back to both of you with the question of what is the road ahead for the Catholic Church at this point? You know, Nicole, your reporting has shown that that the Chilean church hierarchy was prepared to ask Juan Barros to resign, but the Pope said no and appointed him anyway. So do you see any seriousness at the Vatican in actually addressing this problem, or is this one blind spot in Chile?
I think they're serious. I think the Pope has a... This case is very unique, and I should point out that when his Commission of Sexual Abuse Advisors, the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, came to Rome in April of 2015 with this letter from this victim, their concern wasn't to launch an investigation into cover-up of Juan Barros. Their concern was, this is a bishop who was formed in a toxic environment. This was an environment of a community where it was perfectly normal for adults to be kissing and fondling young boys. The concern of the commission was, that's not a good environment to be in. And if you don't recognize that that's a toxic environment, and then that's an environment that is abusive and can lead to even worse abuse, we have a problem on our hands, because Juan Barros, as a bishop in a diocese, is responsible for enacting programs that are going to protect children, recognizing abuse and the indications of it that can often be very hard to detect, and reporting it, and being proactive in reporting it. And so the concern of the commission was, we're concerned that this bishop doesn't recognize that the environment that he was raised in and that he was trained as a priest in was abusive. How can we be sure that when he's in charge, that he will recognize the signs around him that there might be abuse going on in his diocese?
Really important questions, Nicole, especially if Barros himself was himself molested, even though he was an adult, by that same priest. All right, I want to bring in a caller. Max is calling us from Vermilion, South Dakota. Max, go ahead.
Hi, Indira.
Hi.
So as somebody who's been, you know, raised Catholic, I was an altar boy for many, many years, and, you know, continuing to hear about these scandals, why is it that these clergy, why are they all untouchable by the law? Why are they not held accountable like everybody else?
Great question, Max, and I'm going to throw that to Massimo Fagioli, historian and theologian at Villanova University. Massimo, of course, some of these people have been prosecuted, but some of them have not. This father in Chile was found guilty by the Vatican, but he was not ultimately prosecuted by legal, you know, the judicial system in Chile. Why not?
Because we have two different jurisdictions, and that's one complicated feature of the Catholic Church. So here, I think the Vatican is serious about this. I think nobody in the Vatican thinks that they can get away with this. I think that we are in an environment in which it's clear that if you are accused of being a pedophile, your life is destroyed. Like centuries ago, when you were accused of being a heretic, you were burned. I mean, there was no other option. And so today, we have, the Catholic Church has to balance the very important favor of victims, of those who come forward, with the fact that there can be the possibility of accusing people who are not guilty. So here, it's much easier to try people in the public square, in the media, than in a court of law, both a secular court of law or church court of law. I think we have made progress. What I want to point out here is that this problem cannot be solved by one pope. Even if you elect Pope John Rambo or Dirty Harry Callaghan, that's not going to be the solution. So I think Pope Francis has made a series of mistakes here because the Bishop Barros should not have been appointed bishop, because one of the requirements of being appointed bishop is good reputation.
All right.
He didn't have that.
All right. Let's hold that thought, because I also want you to think about what he can do now going forwards to survive and recover from this. But let's take a call from Jim, who is phoning from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Indira. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I was molested when I was 15 by a priest and was later involved in a civil suit in Cleveland, Ohio, that was very public, and that suit was later settled, and many years have passed, and I have returned to the church. The suit never would have happened had not a good priest approached me and asked me to make a written statement that he could take to the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
I filed suit. I wrote that statement, filed suit, because I had previously approached church years earlier, reported what had happened to me, and apparently nothing had been done to prevent the priest from molesting others. And another good priest was, and the priest who first approached me were very, very involved in my suit and did the right thing. And my issue, and as I said, I've returned to the church, and my issue is the media seems to be very eager to report cases of abuse in the Catholic Church, which, by the way, happens in other non-Catholic Christian denominations. I would be willing to bet that there have been at least 80 reports in Chile since 2002 in non-Catholic Christian churches. But we don't hear about that.
Okay. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your call and for sharing your story. I'm so sorry about the abuse that you suffered, and I'm so glad you were able to get some closure in the courts. And it sounds like you have also encountered in your life some good priests as well as bad ones. Massimo, I want to come back to you and ask you about this. You know, so some people are able to forgive and go back to the church, but why is it so hard for the Catholic Church hierarchy to fix this problem that exists in parishes all over the world? Is this a theological issue? Is it a bad management issue?
Well, very simply put, it's a church that has become too big to be governed by the Vatican alone. And so this is so we had other scandals, not that serious, but similar in the Middle Ages, in the early modern times. And the solution back then was basically the centralization of power of the Inquisition, special tribunals in the Vatican, in Rome. And that worked up to a point. I don't think that the Catholic Church today, with more than 5,000 bishops, hundreds of thousands of priests, can imagine to do that with one special tribunal in Rome, in the Vatican. That has to happen for some cases that are especially egregious, especially important. But what I think Francis is trying to do is to change the whole culture of the Catholic Church on this issue. And if you look at what he's doing with Roman Curia, is a similar approach, not governing by decree, but by changing the culture, the spirit of how to govern the Catholic Church. So this is very frustrating for those who want justice. I totally understand that. My two little kids are in a Catholic school in the U.S., so that's my concern as well. I'm not a priest. I'm a layperson. But this is how the situation can change, because a special tribunal can satisfy our thirst for a spectacular justice. I don't think that's going to take care of the whole problem, honestly.
All right. We have so many listeners who are reacting to this hour, and I just want to read some of their comments. Scott from Boston, Massachusetts, says that he is a survivor of church sex abuse here in Boston and believes that the Catholic Church should face RICO charges, organized crime, because sex abuse is a crime, but there's also a cover-up that's a crime as well. Eve from Ravenna, Ohio, says she comes from a family of eight, was raised Catholic. Her oldest sibling was sexually abused as 11 when he was an altar boy and then went on to molest three of her siblings. She says the repercussions were huge. Victims need to be believed. I just want to thank all of our listeners for sharing these stories. I know how painful they are and how personal. And, you know, I want to thank you. Nicole, let me ask you, you cover the church day in, day out. Tell me how you see this sexual abuse scandal and the way that Francis is handling it affecting his legacy. Can he hit the reset button, or is this going to tarnish his reputation?
I think it has tarnished it. I think he can turn it around. He has an incredible opportunity right sitting, looking at him in the face. He has allowed the Commission for the Protection of Minors to lapse. The first three-year mandate ended in December. It's now essentially a commission in name only because we don't have any members. The renovation of that commission, the relaunching of it, could be an opportunity to really kickstart a new phase. I don't know if that will happen. Nobody knows. He did tell us on the plane that that indeed there are a new list of members that are being worked through in the Vatican Curia, being cleared and everything like that. That could be an opportunity. Beyond that, I don't know what he can do. He has said the right things in terms of the apologies. He has met with the victims. I think we're at the stage now, though, of bishop accountability. I mean, that is outstanding question, and whether Bishop Barros covered up, whether he just might not be in a great position to be able to detect abuse going forward, which again was the primary concern of the commission in raising this, to bringing this to his attention, that we'll find that out.
Remains to be seen. And we will be looking for your extraordinary reporting on this. Nicole Winfield, Vatican correspondent for the Associated Press, thank you so much for being with us. Massimo Fagioli, professor of theology at Villanova, thank you for taking the time. You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, and you can follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Coming up tomorrow, live by the Tao, die by the Tao. We'll look at the volatile market. I'm Indira Lakshmanan, and this is On Point.